Leader of the Islamic Revolution lauds female athletes for respecting the Islamic code of dressing in sports arenas. Iranian and Pakistani presidents inaugurate the long-awaited IP pipeline despite U.S. opposition to the project. Iranian president warns against foreign powers' plots to opposition to the project. Iranian president warns against foreign powers' plots to sow discord and conflict among regional nations. Iran presents 5 proposals to the UN Commission on Crimes and Drugs. And Russia says Syrians should themselves decide their own fate, ruling out the regime change game in the country. In the name of God, the compassion of the merciful, hello everyone and welcome to this edition of Iranian and English News with me, Nima Chitsas. Leader of the Islamic Revolution Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei lauded Iran's female athletes for respecting the Islamic code of dressing in sports arenas. Speaking during a meeting with Iranian athletes in Tehran, Ayatollah Khamenei said, "The presence of sports women and girls who respect hijab in international arenas is an extraordinary, highly important and valuable action." The leader further lamented the growing number of threats posed to Muslim women in Europe. Ayatollah Khamenei said, "Under such conditions, when a Muslim Iranian woman who is wearing hijab becomes a champion and makes everyone to bow to her, a great thing has been done." The leader added, "All people should appreciate the sports women who show up in international sports arenas with hijab, grace and poise." The Supreme Leader also said, "Role and status of Muslim women throughout history are very prominent." Pakistan's president traveled to Iran on Monday for a ceremony to mark the start of construction of a long-awaited pipeline to bring natural gas from Iran to Pakistan, despite U.S. opposition to the project. The Iran-Pakistan pipeline is intended to help Pakistan overcome its mushrooming energy needs at a time when the country is facing increased blackouts and energy shortages. The Iranian president was also present in the inauguration ceremony to host his Pakistani counterpart. Apart from the two presidents, a number of dignitaries were also present in the ceremony. During the ceremony, the Iranian president warned against foreign powers' plots to sow discord and conflict among regional nations. President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad also stressed the importance of promoting cooperation and convergence in the region. He described as very important the gas project between Tehran and Islamabad, adding that it indicated the firm determination of regional nations to strengthen their amicable bonds. The Iranian president emphasized that the IP pipeline project shows the two countries' determination to meet bilateral needs and become needless of others and those who seek to humiliate and dominate nations. President Ahmadinejad further said the construction of the gas project was a big decision and proposed extension of the pipeline to other eastern countries as a connecting artery. The Iranian president said those who oppose the Iranian nation development are using the nuclear issue as a pretext to impede the country's progress and to impose sanctions on it. Iran's Minister of Interior presented 5 proposals to the 56th session of Commission in Vienna, sponsored by UN Office on Crimes and Drugs. Mustafa Mohammad Najjar called for cooperation of the UN Office on Crimes and Drugs and international organizations with the countries lying on front line of campaign against drugs. Other proposals included adoption of a comprehensive strategy to end producing drugs in Afghanistan by giving the priority to replacement of poppy cultivation with other crops. The Interior Minister said, "Iran expects the United Nations to implement projects on sustainable alternative livelihood for Afghanistan and support economic development in the country." He emphasized the need to use current capacities of the governments in the region to pay serious attention to the principle of joint responsibility of all countries. Iran's foreign ministry spokesman says divisions among regional countries serve the interests of the Zionist regime. Rami Mehmanparast told reporters that it seems that a secret movement in the region seeks to create tensions and ethnic and religious disputes inside regional countries to destabilize the political climate of independent states. He added another parallel movement is also on the agenda to incite divisions and conflicts among regional countries. The Iranian official further advised those countries or political currents that are fueling sectarian conflicts in Iraq to avoid interfering in the internal affairs of regional countries and help establish stability and security in the region. And now a recap of our top stories. Leader of the Islamic Revolution lauds female athletes for respecting the Islamic code of dressing in sports arenas. Iranian and Pakistani presidents inaugurate the long-awaited IP pipeline despite U.S. opposition to the project. Iranian president warns against foreign powers' plots to sow discord and conflict among regional nations. Iran presents 5 proposals to the UN Commission on Crimes and Drugs. And Russia says Syrians should themselves decide their own fate, ruling out the regime change game in the country. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov said all issues in Syria should be resolved by the Syrians themselves without pressure from abroad, so that the Syrians themselves decide their own fate and the fate of individual politicians. The Russian Foreign Minister said Moscow was not in the regime change game, and those who say Assad must disappear before the start of any talks have a different priority than the lives of the Syrian people.
The most important thing is to ensure that all questions are resolved by the Syrians themselves, without insisting on anything from outside. So the Syrians themselves should define both the fate of their country and the fate of specific politicians. The situation in Syria is not getting any better, though there is more understanding from all sides now that violence should be stopped as soon as possible and dialogue should begin.
An Al-Qaeda-affiliated group in Iraq has claimed responsibility for last week's killing of 48 Syrian soldiers and 9 Iraqi guards in western Al-Anbar province. The group said its fighters were monitoring the movements of the soldiers as Iraqi authorities worked to transfer them secretly back across the border. Last Monday, 48 Syrian soldiers and 9 Iraqi guards were killed in an ambush attack by gunmen near the two countries' sharing border. The soldiers were on their way back to the border in Iraq's western Al-Anbar province, where Iraqi authorities were going to hand them over to Syrian officials. Meantime, at least 3 people were killed and 28 others wounded after rockets fired by Syrian militants hit a neighborhood in southern Damascus. Another shell slammed into a nearby district, causing further casualties, while a third shell struck a house in the same district. Officials said a shell also struck a stadium in Damascus during a football match. They said a number of staff and players were also injured. There were also reports of rocket fire by militants at Dahiyat al-Assad in Damascus province, whose residents are mostly supporters of the President Bashar al-Assad government. U.S. troops have shot and killed at least 2 Afghan civilians outside of capital Kabul. Afghanistan Interior Ministry says these people were killed on Monday as their truck approached an American convoy in the area. The ministry officials said the two were employees of a company responsible for repairing police vehicles. Earlier in the day, an Afghan man disguised in police uniform opened fire inside a police headquarters in Maidan Wardak province, killing 2 U.S. forces and 7 Afghan forces. At least 23 others were wounded in the incident. Monday's incident is the latest of the so-called green and blue attacks, which see Afghan troops turn their guns on the U.S.-led forces. The anti-U.S. sentiments among Afghan security forces are becoming a major threat in the war that Washington and its allies have been leading in Afghanistan since their 2001 invasion of the country. The attacks have increased dramatically in the past 2 years, accounting for 15% of deaths of U.S.-led forces in 2012. Iraqi security officials say at least 12 people have been killed and over 165 others injured in bomb and shooting attacks carried out across the country. Three civilians and two police officers were killed after a bomb explosion near a police station in the town of Debis, northwest of the oil city of Kirkuk, on Monday. Local officials say most of the people injured in the attack were pupils at a neighboring Kurdish girls' secondary school. Elsewhere, gunmen killed one person in the Al-Amil district of Baghdad and another north of the capital. Gunmen also killed a blacksmith near Bukuba and a soldier in the main northern city of Mosul. The violence comes as Iraqi security forces arrested a senior militant leader with links to the Al-Qaeda network in Iraq and the western province of Al-Anbar. The detained militant leader had been wanted in connection with a series of terror attacks against civilians and Iraqi government forces. Now, protesters in Saudi Arabia have once again held a demonstration against the Al Saud regime in Qassim province. The demonstrators chanted anti-regime slogans in the city of Wardiya, located about 330 kilometers north of the capital, Riyadh. They also called for the immediate release of political prisoners. The protesters demanded the release of a group of women who were arrested more than a week ago while holding a sit-in outside a central prison in Wardiya against the detention of their relatives. Some 170 people were taken into custody in the incident. Since February 2011, protesters have held demonstrations on an almost regular basis in Saudi Arabia, primarily calling for the release of all political prisoners, freedom of expression and assembly, and an end to widespread discrimination. Saudi authorities warned in October 2012 that they would deal firmly with anti-regime demonstrations. Amnesty International slammed the warning and urged the authorities to withdraw their threat. Angry Greeks have returned to protest austerity measures outside the parliament building, once again with poverty and unemployment being the main slogan chanted by demonstrators. Our correspondent has more on the issue.
The movement of the so-called indignados made its appearance once again. In Greece, they are known as aganaktismeni, a word standing for fed up. Over the past year, they have been using the internet and social media to get organized against economically repressive measures and austerity policies. After a prolonged period of silence, they seem to be taking over the streets and the squares of central Athens once again. At 6 p.m. local time on Sunday, hundreds of people gathered outside the Greek parliament raising their voice against austerity, poverty, and an even more worrisome dynamic, soaring suicide numbers among Greeks. A short time later, the streets surrounding the parliament got crammed with angry people who came out to protest against a perilous cocktail of austerity measures, poverty, and increased unemployment that have led scores of people to despair. Police made use of chemical weapons to push back protesters, who then unleashed anger and frustration on the security forces even more viciously. A motorcade of protesters on bikes soon joined the crowd, honking and accelerating toward the police. Soon after, the sudden apparition of a police director frenzied even more the flock of angry protesters, who started throwing bottles and all kinds of objects in his direction. Today, people underline that surging anger is taking roots among Greeks, a mounting discontent that has yet to reach its peak. The country's unemployment rate currently stands at 27%, its highest level ever, and the situation is even worse for young people, with more than 65% of the 16 to 24-year-old out of work. With no income, many are finding themselves unable to afford the mortgage payments on homes that are no longer worth the prices paid. The financial crisis has left many ordinary Greeks homeless and has pushed others to commit suicide. Looking back into the past, in 2012, thousands of Spaniards and then Greeks took to the country's streets, inspiring the global Occupy movement with their protest camps. Is there a new propensity for citizens to take back to the streets? More and more say that yes.
Time will show if the new spark of protests organized by the movement of Indignados will rise once again. Yet one thing remains certain, people without hope have indeed nothing to lose. Lucas Romanos, Shabaka Khabar, Aten.
And on that note, we come to a wrap of this edition of the Iranian and English News. Join us tomorrow with the latest updates. Goodbye now.